Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace. Today, we continue in our series entitled Only a Heartbeat Away. This is a series about death, heaven, and hell. And I pray that it's a blessing to you, and that it's actually an encouragement to you as we await the soon coming return of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we discuss the rapture of the church. Or, as some people call it, the great catching away. Now, the rapture is a glorious and imminent event in which two groups of Christians will instantly be caught up to meet Christ in the air. And, yes, I am referring to dead and living Christians. So, the dead in Christ will be resurrected, according to the Bible, and then living Christians will be instantly translated into their resurrection bodies. After both groups are caught up to meet Christ in the air, they will be taken away, taken back to heaven, never again to be separated from Christ. This means that one generation of Christians will never pass through death's door. No, they will be alive on earth one moment, and the very next moment, they will be instantly translated into their resurrection bodies and caught up into the air to meet Christ. Whoa, what an awesome moment that'll be. If you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, it is possible that you and I will be among the living who will be caught up together to meet the Lord above the earth. And it could happen in our generation. So let's explore what the Bible teaches about this wondrous, miraculous event. Now, it is a mystery in the biblical sense, this rapture or this catching away of the church. A mystery is a truth that cannot be discerned simply by human investigation, but it requires a special revelation from God. Generally, this word, mystery, refers to a truth that was unknown to people living in Old Testament times, but is now revealed to humankind by God. This is illustrated in a very key verse about the rapture of the church. Here's what Paul writes as he was given the words by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 55, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Hallelujah. Resurrection was certainly taught in the Old Testament times. Now, for example, Daniel 12, verse 2. Check that out for yourself. But listen, the rapture of the church, in which both the dead and living Christians put on that which is imperishable and the immortal, instantly being caught up to meet the Lord in the air, is a mystery, because it had never been revealed in Old Testament times. It was revealed for the first time in the New Testament, under Jesus Christ. This new teaching is no doubt one of the reasons New Testament believers become so excited about Bible prophecy, especially in our day. Amen. So many ask the question, when will the rapture occur? Some Christians believe the rapture will take place in the middle of the tribulation period. Others place it toward the end tribulation period. A cat caught my tongue. But I believe a literal interpretation of prophetic scripture supports this idea that the rapture of the church occurs prior to any part of the tribulation period. Praise God. Now, the Apostle Paul describes the rapture as occurring in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's 1 Corinthians 15:52. This is Paul's way of demonstrating how brief the moment of the rapture will be. In the twinkling of an eye. Bible expositor Thomas Constable notes that, and I quote, "The Greek word translated moment or flash is atomos, and it refers to the indivisible fragment of time. The blinking of an eye takes only a fraction of a second," end quote. Wow. Think about that. The bodily transformation of that living believers will experience in the rapture will be nearly instantaneous. One moment they will be on earth in mortal bodies, probably engaged in some routine activity, and the next moment they will meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, instantly transformed into their glorified resurrection bodies. Now, Jesus is often portrayed in Scripture as the bridegroom. See John 3, verse 29. And the church is portrayed in the Bible as the bride of Christ, as we see in Revelation 19, verse 7. So the imagery of Hebrew weddings teaches us something important about the rapture. Hebrew weddings included three phases. First, the bride was betrothed to the groom through a legal agreement between their parents. Secondly, the bridegroom later came to claim his bride after preparing a place for them to live. Cool, huh? Yes. Thirdly, family and friends celebrated at a marriage feast lasting several days. Praise God. It's party time. All three of these phases are seen in Christ's relationship to the church, or the bride of Christ. As individuals, during the church age, come to salvation, under the Father's loving and sovereign hand, they become a part of the bride of Christ, the church. Then the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, comes to claim his bride at the rapture and takes his bride to heaven, where he has prepared a place in his Father's house. The actual marriage takes place in heaven prior to the second coming. The marriage supper of the Lamb follows the second coming, apparently taking place on earth at the beginning of the millennial kingdom. That's Christ's 1,000-year kingdom on earth. Now, just as as they count the days until their wedding, so each of us Christians ought to look forward with great anticipation to the day of the rapture. But you know, it's a sad commentary on the state of the church that so many Christians today seem to be lethargic when it comes to issues related to Bible prophecy. We should be looking up and waiting for Jesus because he's about to come. Scripture writers sometimes refer to the rapture of the church as our great and blessed hope. This event is blessed in the sense that it fosters a sense of blessedness in the believer's heart. This term carries the idea of joyous anticipation. So believers can hardly wait for it to happen. Titus 2, verse 13, encourage us. It encourages us and urges us to look for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. As one particular Bible expositor put it, and I quote, he said, "We are looking for Jesus Christ to return. This is our only hope and glory. Believers should always be expecting his return and live like those who will see him face to face." Hallelujah. We should. Now, at this momentous event, the dead in Christ will be resurrected straight up from the graves, or from ashes, whatever the case may be, or straight up from the seas. The dead in Christ will be resurrected, and believers still alive on earth will be instantly translated into their resurrection bodies. These bodies will never again be subject to sickness or sorrow, pain, and death. While we live in this fallen world as pilgrims just passing through, who are just on our way to eternity, we are empowered by this wonderful, magnificent, blessed hope. Amen? Amen. Now listen to me. There is a big difference between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. Big difference between the two. The rapture involves Christ coming for his saints in the air prior to the great tribulation. Whereas the second coming, he will come with his saints to the earth to reign for 1,000 years. We see that in Revelation chapters 19 and 20. The fact that Christ comes with his holy ones, that means redeemed believers. The fact that Jesus comes with us at the second coming presumes that they have been previously raptured. He cannot come with them until he has come for them. Amen? Moreover, every eye will see Jesus at his second coming. That's Revelation 1, 7. But the rapture is never described as being visible to the whole world. Mm-mm. Rather, both dead and living believers are instantly caught up to meet the Lord in the air, after which they are escorted back to heaven. Christians meet Jesus in the air at the rapture. Again, this is 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 17. We meet Jesus in the air at the rapture, but at the second coming, the feet of Jesus touch the Mount of Olives. That's in Zechariah 14, verse 4. At the rapture, Christians are taken and unbelievers are left behind. Whereas at the second coming, unbelievers are taken away in judgment, and mortal believers remain to enter into Christ's millennial kingdom. At the rapture, Jesus will receive his bride, the church, whereas at the second coming, he will execute judgment, as seen in Matthew 25. The rapture will take place in the blink of an eye, whereas in the second coming, this will be more drawn out, and every eye shall see him. You can build up your faith by meditating on scriptures, dealing with both of these prophetic events. Praise God. And to be sure, the Bible says that the rapture is an imminent event. Really? Yes. The term imminent literally means ready to take place or impending. The New Testament teaches that the rapture is imminent. That is, there is nothing that must be prophetically fulfilled before the rapture occurs. The rapture is a signless event that can occur at any moment. This is in contrast to the second coming of Jesus, which is preceded by many events in the seven-year Great Tribulation period. And for that, look at Revelation chapters 4 through 18. Again, imminence. Imminence is implied in the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 13, verses 11 and 12. There he writes, "You know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Hallelujah. The word salvation in this context must point to the rapture, because Paul refers to it as a specific future event, dear one. At the end of each day, the Christian is that much closer to the time when the rapture may occur. Again, the word imminence is also implied in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, where James writes, "Be patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and latter rains. You also, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. For behold, the judge is standing at the door." Hallelujah! Oh boy, that excites me. How about you? So, live expectantly, dear one. We have looked at a New Testament analogy that relates to the rapture, and it compares it to ancient Jewish marriages. In Bible times, a betrothed woman would eagerly await the coming of her groom to take her away to his father's house in a marriage celebration. During this time of anticipation, the bride's loyalty and fidelity to her groom were tested. So she sought to live in purity, remaining faithful to her beloved one. Oh, dear ones, hear me. Likewise, the bride of Christ, the church, you and me, we await the coming of the messianic groom. And the church is motivated to live in purity and godliness until he arrives at the rapture. Just as a wife seeks to be loyal to her husband, so the church ought to seek purity in awaiting the coming of her divine groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we so look forward to the coming of Jesus at the rapture. We are thankful that at the moment of the rapture, we will all receive resurrection bodies that will never again grow old, get sick, or die. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We are also thankful that when Jesus comes for us, he will take us to the place he has prepared in your house, Lord. We will have perfect bodies in a perfect environment, in perfect fellowship with you, Abba Father. And for that we give you thanks, glory, honor, and praise. All in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope this series is a real blessing to you. And if you would, please do go to Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you listen. But just for the sake of discussion, go to Apple Podcasts and click on our podcast, Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. Go to the bottom of that page and please do give us a 5-star review. That would be great. It would attract many more eyes to and ears to our podcasts all around the world. we seek to reach more and more people than ever in 2024 with the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for listening. And hey, pastors, please consider, prayerfully consider, inviting me to come and to preach and teach in your church, wherever it may be. We've traveled these United States of America for the last 13 years, preaching the good news of Jesus and teaching the Word of God. And we've seen the Lord do many wonderful things. We've seen many people get saved, delivered, healed, and baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on my Jesus. So, Pastor, please do consider inviting me to come and minister to your church and your community. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may God grant you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love. May it be within your marriage, family, home, and relationships. And may God grant you the greatest favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.